Okay, welcome to Grown and Opinionated. I'm your host, Sasha. I'm holding the mic today because I'm trying not to talk with my hands so much, but I got one hand free and it's going. But it's Bobby on the Mondays. You already know this is the day of the week where where I like to talk about things that affect us as parents. Sometimes we can kind of intertwine it with what's going on in pop culture or our culture. But if not, then we don't. But it's really about talking about parents. So I wanted to talk about this whole thing with, I guess it ties into co-parenting, but over the weekend, this thing with Jenny Ma and Jeezy is like, cat claws on the chalkboard, cringy. So if you're not aware, really quickly, Jenny Ma, I guess she was from The View or The Talk or The Host. I don't know where she's from, but she was on one of those talk shows that where the five women sit around and they talk. And she was on one of those. She married Jeezy. Y'all sure all know Jeezy, the snowman. And during a courtship, she was praising this man, saying he was the best. They got married during COVID. And she couldn't stop singing his praises. And then after the marriage, she decided to have a baby, which was the in her own words, I don't want to say like I know what happened, but what she said is that in her marriage, her first marriage, is that she didn't feel safe in that marriage. And that's why she had no desire to have children. Her and her first husband ultimately divorced. And he went on to have another baby with the new girlfriend or wife, and she got with Jeezy. And then after they married, she had a baby. And, you know, people ask, like, well, what was the change in you? Because you were so adamant about not having kids. She said, for the first time, I felt safe in a relationship, and we discussed it. And that's really why I didn't want to have children. But now that I feel so safe in this relationship, I wanted to have children. Right? Fast forward 15 months later, if it was 15 months, or maybe it was 2 years, I don't know. But Jeezy publicly, like, he filed for this divorce, and Jeannie Ma, I don't want to say publicly, he filed for a divorce, and Jeannie Ma was really publicly saying, I didn't know this was coming. I didn't know we were headed for a divorce. I thought we were good. And she, you know, went on this press run where she was saying, you know, she found out when everybody else found out on the internet and that she wanted to work things out with Jeezy and all of these other things. Fast forward, I guess we now, 6 months later? Now she has accused because there's a custody fight, custody, parenting time, whatever it is. Jeezy is saying that, listen, ever since I left the home and filed for divorce, I have not been able to exercise parenting time with my child, and that's an issue for me. Jenny Ma is saying that, well, I'm not letting you exercise parenting time with your child because I'm concerned for the child's safety. And I guess this is what kind of triggered me to, you know, want to discuss this. So she said, first she said she was concerned about the child's safety because Jeezy has guns. Listen, you can't marry somebody named the Snowman who made a career of telling about how he sold drugs and came up in the streets and everything and thinks there's no guns around. There's going to be guns. Now, if he's leaving them out all willy-nilly, okay, yes, that's an issue. But apparently that wasn't enough to stop this because she went further this weekend, where she alleges that Jeezy was abusive to her and physically abusive to her. And in support of her allegations, she submitted some WhatsApp text. Is it WhatsApp? What's up? WhatsApp. It's like this communication tool that I know when we go on vacation, like Jamaica or somewhere, that we use that tool to communicate with everybody. So if you don't have service, she was showing some of those messages and bruises that she had. But she clearly stated that the bruises that she showed were the result of a golf cart accident that her and Jeezy were in. That apparently Jeezy got drunk, was driving a golf cart, they had an accident. And he apologized and said, like, he felt so bad and, you know, he can't believe he did this. And that was the end of the proofs that she submitted. Now, I think there was one more proof that she submitted that there was an incident at the hotel, but it's just an incident report. There's nothing to say to support, to substantiate what she's actually saying is that he choked her up or things like that. Now, I'm calling cap, and it's just my opinion about it. I'm calling cap. I stand with victims. Y'all know how I feel. We've had numerous conversations. If y'all new, check out the old episodes. We've had numerous conversations about victims and supporting victims and how they need to have that space and feel free to discuss what's going on and to be believed. However, I'm calling cap on her. One, she had a text message from Jeezy that says that he was apologizing. Yet she says that throughout the relationship, he was abusive to her, but she doesn't have any other text messages from him when he's apologizing for the other incidents. And in my experience, I'm not a victim of physical domestic violence. I know people, I was a counselor for domestic violence, that in order to keep the victim there, the abuser always apologizes, says it's the last time, he's not going to do it again, and things like that, which leads me to believe that if this was going on in the amount of times, that there would be one text message from him talking about what happened, but there was none. Two, if he was abusive to her in the way that she's describing throughout the relationship, how did you feel safe enough to have a baby with him? The relationship wasn't that long. I mean, all in all, I may be confusing her and Portia because I've been Simon Squirrel moment. Her Portia, soon-to-be ex-husband, has put out this $100,000 reward if anybody could prove he's cheating. And it's really been on my mind, like, should I take him up on this challenge? So maybe I'm confusing. But I can't remember when the Gucci Mane and Jeezy verses were, but that was around the time when they were together, and that wasn't that long ago. So they haven't been together that long, but during this relationship, she felt safe enough, in her own words, to have a baby with him. Now she's saying that she was being abused the whole time and things like that. That's another reason why I believe. Three, after he filed for a divorce, which I'm not saying that it doesn't happen. I always say that the universe and God be working in our favors when we don't know. It may very well be that Jeezy was abusing her and said, you know what? I'm so tired of abusing this girl. This relationship is so toxic. Let me just get out because she's not going to leave. However, I don't believe that. I believe that there were issues in the relationship and that they weren't like, some people are not that type. Like, I'm just going to keep hanging around and see what happens or try to make it. It's more like, oh, you know what? This not working. You're not happy. I'm not happy. I'm out. And he filed for a divorce, which is something you never really see the abuser like, I'm going to leave you alone. I'm so tired of abusing you. I'm just going to leave you alone. It's usually the other way around where the victim is fighting to get out. However, he filed for a divorce. She said she didn't know. She went on a press run about how she didn't know she was getting divorced. Yeah, you want to get back with him and he was abusing you. I mean, at that point, wouldn't you say, you know, our relationship was abusive. However, I thought he was treating it or whatever. I'm sorry. I call cap. And in the law, there's a rule about that, like an evidence rule. And oh, my God. But it's like if somebody says something right after the incident when it happens, that's more than likely going to be allowed. And because you didn't have time to make up anything, or it has more credence because it's like you didn't have a chance to think like, oh, I may be going to court. Let me figure out something to say. You know, you uttered it right then and there when it was going on, or you said it right after. I just don't believe her. Now, with that being said, how I want to tie this in into co-parenting and custody issues is that a lot of men have kind of come on Jeezy's side. And I'm also with the snowman. You can't cancel the snowman. I'm with the snowman on this one. Is that this is a tactic used by women to stop the men, the fathers, from having custody or relationships with their children. And I think that's what kind of triggered me, because I've been vocal about my situation. I don't want to keep going into it. You can listen to the other episodes, but I have two children. I wouldn't call what we do co-parenting, but I have primary residential custody of the children. But at this point, I don't have sole custody of them. I still have joint legal custody with their dad. However, I'm the only one showing up. I'm the only one here. They don't have any parenting time with their dad or anything. It's just me. Now, with that being said, like, I'm in that situation, and a lot of people, with other women too, and they kind of accuse them of using different things just to keep them away. And in my situation, I have only been accused by the person I'm doing it to, but there was no physical domestic violence for me to even like point to or anything. You know, it's a real concern. And what is bothering me with what Jenny Ma is doing is that she's using that as leverage to get her way in court. I think that based on the facts, and I hate when people say, well, how you know? You ain't in their business. Based on the information that's available to us all, that they've all made public, I think that she was publicly embarrassed and humiliated. Jersey City, leave me alone. About how the situation went, you know, because it was like this whole whirlwind romance and courtship and marriage, and then her going back on the word about not wanting kids, having kids, and then he divorces her, and she doesn't even know that he filed for divorce, and then he's putting out information which no one knew. She has a vlog, because I went there, I wanted to make a reaction video, and before I quote anybody or say what they say, I like to actually watch and hear what they say. And she has this vlog that she was detailing their love story and all of their relationship and everything there. I think that her ego, that it was part of her ego, and it took a hit that when he did this, I think it really hurt her. And the issue is that, you know, when we're in relationships with other people, you know, we can be hurt and you can voice your hurt to the other person, but they may not respond the way you want. And it's really nothing you can do. You can't control it. But then you have children that you have to raise, even though this person hurt you or did something to you. And I think that in this situation, this is just my opinion about a JMO, is that she was like, well, I'm not going to let you have a relationship with your child. She could have really, it could be honest that she's like, you know, based on the way you're treating me, I'm concerned about, you know, how that would reflect on our child, things like that. And I doubt where it's a situation where Jeezy is like, look, let me get 2-3 hours with my kid a day. I'll just come and pick her up, see her and be out. He's like, no, I want to have a relationship with my child. I want to raise my child. I want overnights with my child. I want things like that. And that's a lot to give up control over. I know, like, I have controlling issues or anything like that, but it's not something where you have much control, because once you turn over the child, you have to trust that the other person is acting in the child's best interest and not going to put them in harm's way or do anything. And it's a lot. However, I think that she could have addressed that concern without these allegations of domestic violence. I really think she could have addressed that in that manner. Moreover, the reason why I'm calling cap on her is that I didn't see where she asked for supervised visitation or parenting time, which would be an indication to me that, yeah, there is a real concern here and he should have a relationship with his child. I'm not opposed to him having a relationship. I'm not opposed to him having a relationship with his child or anything. However, I have a concern here. And she didn't do it. It's just like, I'm going to totally keep you away. Those play a lot of factors, and usually it's the men who do it, where they're asking for extra time with their kids so they could lower child support, but it plays a factor in child support. It can also play a factor in alimony, because if I have a young child that I need to take care of, provide a lot of care for, and I can't work, then I'm going to need more money until I can get this kid to school age, and then I can work. But with all of that being said, I don't want to say there's a special place in hell for people like this, because I don't think that that is that far. But I think that the universe will take care of this. However, this, please do not use false allegations as a tactic when dealing with custody and parenting time issues, because the other part that she's missing is that this judge is going to be on their case until this judge is not on their case. So now if the judge is like, you know, I think this girl a liar. Now, every time you go before this judge, it's already in the back of this judge's head that this girl's a liar. That girl's a liar. And he's going to be less likely to believe you or find you to be a credible witness on a lot of things. So you really want to watch that when you're doing it. Now, for co-parenting, a lot of us are in that situation with co-parenting. I don't have a successful co-parenting relationship or situation. So, I couldn't even tell you, but you know, I think that when I got divorced for co-parenting, my ideal situation would be that, that we would co-parent, that we would work together. I had concerns before I got divorced about my ex-husband and the choices he made with our children and his judgment with our children. I had concerns. There were a number of things that were going on. And, you know, you talk, you try to work it out, and you hope that they learn, and then it happens again. And at a certain point, it got to a point where it's like, okay, you don't even see a problem with what you're doing, or your judgment is so flawed that you're not even able to consider them when you're making decisions. And that's a concern for me, because while it might be one minor thing now, that can flip into a bigger thing, and some things you just can't come back from. It's just some things, in my opinion. Well, and not in my opinion, I know for a fact, because of the people who still discuss things that happened in their childhood when they were adults, that those things you can't come back from. So I had to make a decision to go to the courts and say, look, these are my concerns about him with my children, and he needs to be supervised. He needs parenting class. At this point, I got to give a hard pass. I think it needs to be a more intense parenting class, and that those should be determined on a case-by-case situation. But a parenting class, supervision, but I didn't go to court saying he should not have any access to these children. Which, and listen, I'm not trying to toot my own horn or brag or distinguish. Well, I am distinguishing myself from Jenny Ma, is that maybe my children would be better off without having that access. I don't know. And I'm making a decision based on the information I have now. But I know that from what I know, is that most children do benefit from having a relationship with both of their parents. So even in my situation where I had a valid concern, and there were numerous examples, and I had to go to the court and not with me, with the children directly, and say, these are the reasons why I think he needs to be supervised when he has these children. And yeah, of course, it's not easy or anything, but at the end of the day, my job is not to be easy or my job is not to get along. My job is to parent these children. So I have to do what's best for them. The fact that Jenny Ma didn't ask for any supervision or psychological evaluations or anger management classes, parenting classes, leads me to believe that this is less about any real concern for her daughter being in GZ care and more about her feelings and ego with what happened. You guys can let me know. I think I already said it, but if you're in a situation and there's really no concern and it's just your feelings, you know, work through it. It would be nice if you could express to the other parent, like, listen, you know, I'm hurt because of X, Y, and Z. And because of that hurt, I feel this way. And y'all could kind of work it out, but they're not listening. They're not. Unless y'all had a really great relationship. But lean on us. Look, call me up. Send me a message. I would love to have a parenting group where we could call and talk to each other about these things, about what works co-parenting, what doesn't work when we're co-parenting. I mean, it's Mamiana Monday, so I would love to have that. But find your group and kind of lean on them so you could figure out a way to not do this, not blame, don't do this, but to kind of navigate this whole co-parenting situation. So I'm about to get out of here, but before I go, I wanted to talk about something that I was talking to a chief marketing officer this weekend about, and to kind of also hold myself accountable. You guys, any, all 15, I'm going to say 15 million, let me manifest 15 million of y'all that listen know about how I feel about giving your dreams a chance, showing up for yourself, not even for, we all show up for other people. That most people do not have a problem showing up for someone else. It's showing up for ourselves that we have a problem with. And when I was speaking to her, I was talking about, she was like, you know, what's your goals? And one thing I find is like, I'm a little hesitant to share my goals or things with other people. I had a conversation with a friend, and I think that was a test from the universe because she's just that type of person. Like, that's not real. That's not. And you're like, girl. But you have to be so strong in it that you can withstand that scrutiny from someone saying, that ain't going to happen for you. You got to be so strong in that. So I don't have a problem sharing, but I do be hesitant sometimes. But once I finally, I'm like, you know, F it, I started talking. And we were talking. She's like, you know, you could come up with a really good marketing plan to get yourself where you need to go. She said, but you got to show up. She said, I tell all my clients, you can have a good plan. You can have a mediocre plan. You can have a bad plan. None of them are going to work if you don't show up. She was like, I've seen people with mediocre plans outperform a good plan because they show up. They show up every day. They're holding themselves accountable for that. And I'm holding myself accountable for that because while I'm saying that I do have these goals, and trust me, my intent, I have the best intent to show up and things. And in life, how people say life be life and work starts working. And I kind of put it to the backside, and I have to give myself that same talk that we've been having throughout the resurgence of this podcast is that, you know, if you got to give your dreams a chance, and if that's what you really want, then you have to make sure your actions show that. So I know I was off like the last 2 weeks because of my kids with the schooling, being out of school. Listen, if you considering a career, be a teacher. They always out of work. But I still was like, you know what? I need to do better. I need to show up. Even on those times, I need to go and record and wake myself up. When I wake up at 11 o'clock to meditate, then grab the microphone and record really quickly. About being more active on social media. I will be active for like 3 days straight, and then I'm like, blah, 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 showing up every day. And I've given myself a challenge. If you're in a space where you're trying to market anything, any of your services, clothing, whatever you're doing, if that's your goal, if that's what you want and that's your goal and your desire, maybe you want to join in a challenge with me that I'm showing up and being active 30 days straight. I got this from Seinfeld. Jerry Seinfeld, a comedian, he says, like, you know, young comedians come to him and they ask him, like, any advice for becoming a great comedian? And he always tells them, every day for 30 days, write a joke. And if you miss a day, start over and go again. And that's not something that that's new that I've heard, because I listened to when, you know, you guys been on the journey with me when I was going through my journey after my divorce to get my ish together. And I heard it was like every night do XYZ for 30 days. If you don't do it, start over. Make it a pattern and be consistent. So if it's something that you want to do, if it's like I said, if you're marketing something, a brand, yourself, whatever, any services you have, cleaning services, consulting services, or you trying to bag somebody, 30 days, we on it. If you trying to bag somebody, make sure for 30 days you're sending those good morning king, good morning queen tag, grand rising every day, sending them songs. Do you like this song? Hey, this will be a great 30 days. We're going to be consistent. Join me on the journey. We'll tap back in 30 days, maybe on a whatever Wednesday, and see where we at. But until next time, I'm out.